Right now, it's time for Armed American Radio's Daily Defense with Mark Walters.
Sitting in these Crossbreed Holster studios, what a pleasure and an honor it is to be here with you again today and every day, filling your prescription for freedom from coast to coast, from those toasty beaches of South Florida all the way to those crab fishing vessels in Alaska. Hey, a quick disclaimer. There will be some very heavy weather moving through and over the Crossbreed Holster studios during the broadcast today in the unlikely event that we experience some trouble. I just wanted to let you know that could be why, so hang in there. We have all of the studio ready to go. We're good to rock and roll with you. We shouldn't have any problems. But just in case we do, bear with me. We'll be able to get it right back up for you. I have a dynamite program for you today. Been looking forward to this for a long time. Let me tell you something. I have two favorite talk radio hosts of all times, Mike Gallagher and Janet Mefford. And Janet Mefford is here with me today, and I'm going to go right to her because we've got limited time in the Daily Defense Hour, and I want every single minute with her we can get. Janet, a pleasure. Thanks for being here. How are you today? We'll shut that off for you.
Doing great, Mark. It's an honor to be with you. How are you?
Oh, my gosh. Doing wonderful, Janet. Thank you so much for being here. Listen, a couple things I want to start with. Do we have anything we think we can talk about today? Can we find a topic?
I think we could find a topic for 300, probably. Yeah, I think that's probably a good bet.
We could probably go about 3 hours or so. So let's start with this. I want to give you my definition of what I think we're up against, Janet, from the gun prohibitionists, a group of people I have called, I've referred to them in harsh terms. I've called them un-American. And I've had some of the emails come back to me and say, well, that's kind of harsh, you know, calling another citizen un-American for expressing their views. And I said, it's not for expressing their views. Janet, I believe that in this country, we have a right to disagree. That's what makes America great. We have a right to have robust debate, agree with or disagree with each other. We have the right to protest. We have the right to assemble. That's what makes America the greatest nation on earth, or a large part of it anyway. But when somebody crosses that fragile boundary and moves from simple disagreement, because that disagreement, if we can't come to terms, Janet, then we have to agree to disagree. That's where it has to end. And when someone crosses that boundary and says, you know what, I don't like what you have that I disagree with. I want to take it from you. To me, that's un-American. Is that too harsh a description, do you think?
No, it's un-American. I agree.
Okay. So you and I are of like mind here. Go ahead.
Yeah. No argument there. It's absolutely un-American, especially when you start turning against the Second Amendment and things that are enshrined in our Constitution and our Bill of Rights. If you start turning against what we've always stood for as a country, you begin to deny American principles. I think it's perfectly acceptable to say that you're acting un-American.
I agree, obviously, and we're seeing a lot of that today. And not just gun rights, but we're seeing it in the Christian perspective. My gosh, we could easily take this hour and talk just about that.
But for sure.
Just the persecution of Christians, not just around the world, but what we're seeing here in America. This is unlike anything I've ever seen in my 50-plus years on this planet, Janet. I'm concerned about the direction this country is going under Obama. Now, we're going to go there in just a few minutes, but we already know we have plenty to talk about. But let me start with this with you. Is this World War III that we're in now, Janet?
I think you could definitely make a case that it's World War III. It's not the same as it was, for example, when we were bombed in 1941 at Pearl Harbor. You don't have, unless you want to count 9/11, it's not playing out exactly the way World War II would play out or World War I played out. But how can you deny it? We've got a global war on terror. We had 9/11. We've had the bombings in London. We've had the Paris Jihad. And we've had almost up to 28,000 lethal acts of global jihad committed since 9/11. It's amazing. And yet we still have the left perpetuating this myth that this is not Islamic, even though they continue to say over and over and over again that it's absolutely Islamic.
Yeah.
It's as somebody was saying today online, it's almost turning into a Monty Python skit where they're saying it's Islamic and they're saying, no, you don't really mean that. It's not Islamic. It has nothing to do with Islam. Well, how many more people have to die and be blown up and be shot in the streets as their blood is running through cafes and through musical halls before people will recognize that they mean exactly what they're saying? And that, for example, I'll give you an example of this, Mark. This is a perfect example. I had just seen this. They were supposed to have this rally against the Paris Jihad attacks in France. Do you know how many Muslims showed up in France for the Paris Jihad attack rally?
30. I'd be afraid to go. Yeah, I that to me would seem high, quite frankly.
30 Muslims out of about 5 million Muslims in France showed up at this rally. And in October of 2014, for example, in Houston, there was a rally against ISIS that was organized by CARE, the Council on American Islamic Relations, which is a unindicted co-conspirator in the Hamas funding trial. And they got 10 people. 10 people showed up. They had another Muslim rally in Ireland against the Islamic State. 50 people showed up. This is from Robert Spencer over at Jihad Watch. So you look at this and you say, well, if it really is not Islamic, then how come you're not seeing overwhelming response from the Islamic population to knock out ISIS? And I'm so tired of hearing from the left that what we really need to do is rally Saudi Arabia. We need to rally all these Muslim countries. They need to do the fighting. They need, well, they've had adequate time, haven't they, Mark, to get in and to do what they need to do? And why are they not doing it? There's a disconnect there, you know?
They have no intention of doing it. They've had adequate time. They're not going to do it. They don't want to do it. And quite frankly, they don't have an American president prodding them to do it. There's no leadership role here coming from the United States of America pushing them to do so. Sometimes you've got to push somebody to get something done. I understand the geopolitics involved, as you well do, too.
Right.
But there's no leadership coming from Washington, Janet, and that's what's frustrating all of America. We're going to go to that press conference in just a few minutes from Turkey, the joke that it was that I think damaged Barack Obama's presidency and his legacy. It's irreparable after that, I believe. But my next question for you is along those lines. Why won't this president call it what it is?
Well, I think there are a lot of theories about it, but I think the simplest answer is to say he doesn't call it what it is because he doesn't want to call it what it is. He has aspirations and goals beyond what just is said at his various press conferences and his various interviews. We've had a complete turnaround since 2008 in terms of where we're headed as a country. We've seen cultural Marxism absolutely rampant through the culture. And somebody was quoting a radical leftist today I was reading who said the issue is never the issue. The issue is always the revolution. And I don't think a lot of Americans have fully realized that what has been going on has certainly been a cultural revolution. People will cite Obama's quote about wanting to have a fundamental transformation of America, which we certainly have experienced under this president. But what concerns me more, Mark, even than what President Obama says, is the fact that you don't see more Americans rising up in anger and in frustration. I look at what's going on right now out on social media, for example, and online, mm-hmm. about these refugees and about the unvetted Muslim refugees who he wants to just flood in. And it's not just 10,000 Syrian refugees, it's 15,000. These are refugees that are basically being picked by the UN in consultation with the Islamist group, the Organization of Islamic Cooperation. It's a lie to say that we are properly vetting Syrian refugees. Now, normally, when we were thinking straight as a country, if you think back even 20, 30 years ago, if you were in the wake of this jihad, not only against us, but just the most recent one in Paris, suggested bringing over unvetted refugees at a time like this, the American people would have risen up and said, no way. Why isn't that happening? You have conservatives rising up and saying that. You have some Democrats rising up and saying that. But, you know, generally speaking, the American people, I think, are somewhat in a catatonic state. Whatever Obama wants, he wants the best for America, so we need to trust the president. And you know what? I don't think it's going to end well.
No, it's not going to end well. And I would submit to you, too, Janet. Gosh, I'm looking forward to the rest of this hour. It's going to fly, unfortunately, because I could go another 2 to 3 rounds with you easy. I would submit to you, Janet, that 20 or 30 years ago, there wouldn't have been a request to bring refugees into this country from a military-age males, from a country or countries who a certain faction within that nation has openly declared war on this country and all of our allies. It wouldn't have happened. So this is a crazy upside-down place we're in. We're having to deal with a new reality under what I refer to as progressive, dopey, progressive liberalism, Democrat socialism. That's what they call themselves. Let's give it to them. And we're seeing the destruction that it's doing to the planet. Yeah, it's terrible what's happening. But you ask that question, why? And why is it happening? You say you don't think it's not going to get any better. On your website, you nailed it. On your blog today at janetmefford.com, it shows in our tepid responses, endless candlelight vigils, heartfelt social media hashtags, and lifeless phrases like hashtag I stand with Paris. Now, for kicks, I call it pound, because until my phone tells me put in the last four digits of my phone number followed by the hashtag sign, I'm going to continue to call it pound. So it's I pound, I stand with Paris. I'm sure the Islamic State is really quaking in fear. But the more quickly we can offer these perfunctory acts of compassion, the sooner we can get back to Candy Crush. Face it, the West in general, and as yet, has no overwhelming will to fight ISIS, nor do Americans in particular. And I don't just mean President Obama and his band of progressive elites. I mean the Americans who elected him, the same ones who barely look up from their iPhones. When we come back, Janet Mefford, you can hear her and view her, everything she writes about and talks about at janetmefford.com. We'll be right back with one of the best talk show hosts on the planet.
I don't think I need to tell you this, but I'm going to anyway. When it comes to concealed carry, a smart shooter is a prepared shooter. And going to the range and shooting at a target just isn't enough. While training is important, you need something more. And that's why 135,000 responsibly armed Americans rely on Concealed Carry magazine. To pick up where training at the range leaves off, expect life-saving information on every page, every issue. Whether it's unbiased gun and gear reviews or real stories of self-defense, from real people who carry concealed every day. You'll stay up to date on the latest training drills and laws regarding your right to carry your firearm. And for a limited time, when you start your subscription, you'll automatically be entered to win one of four brand new guns. But this won't last long. So go to the number one of the number four guns.com right now to begin your subscription and claim your chance to win your dream gun. That's one of four guns.com.
The Second Amendment Foundation has grown into what many believe to be the most important gun rights organization in America. With hundreds of thousands of active members, it is the Second Amendment Foundation defending your rights in courtrooms across the nation. Winning these battles in local jurisdictions all the way to the Supreme Court requires tireless effort and help from you. Please help the Second Amendment Foundation defend your freedoms by joining or donating today at saf.org. Join us at saf.org. Thank you.
The revolutionary Crossbreed Super Tuck holster is the most comfortable and concealable inside the waistband holster you'll ever wear, and nothing even comes close. Designed to completely conceal a firearm of any size and made to be worn with any attire, from shorts and a t-shirt to a suit and a tie. Based on your personal carry style, the Super Tuck may be worn comfortably with or without your shirt tucked in. Find out why the Crossbreed Super Tuck is the most often imitated but never duplicated holster design in the world. Visit CrossbreedHolsters.com today.
From Crossbreed Holsters comes the Women's Appendix. With softer leather and smoother corners, the Women's Appendix holster was designed specifically with the female body in mind. This holster is intended for popular small firearms and has no cant, so it can be worn on the front side of the body. Featuring a Crossbreed hand-molded pocket for a perfect fit, we ensure the Women's Appendix is your answer for any woman who wants to carry a small firearm in a front position. This versatile holster can be worn in the standard appendix or cross-draw fashion. Find your perfect fit today at CrossbreedHolsters.com.
Hi, it's Mark, and I hope you're enjoying this week's broadcast. You know, over the last several weeks, you've heard me mentioning a website, USCCAOnAir.com. We have some amazing sponsors here on this program, and one of them, the United States Concealed Carry Association, helped create this program. Since that time, just like Armed American Radio, the USCCA has exploded in growth to become the nation's number one resource for the responsibly armed citizen. The USCCA has also become famous for their promotions, as if you needed more incentive to join the United States Concealed Carry Association. Free guns, thousands of dollars in merchandise, and free ammunition, etc. to lucky promotion winners. You, too, can win by simply visiting the website USCCAOnAir.com. USCCAOnAir.com. That site is reserved for you as an Armed American Radio listener to keep you updated on their latest promotions. Now, I'll tell you about the promos on every program, but you can still check for yourself by visiting USCCAOnAir.com. Don't miss out. Hi, it's Mark, and I have a plea for help. Gun-hating billionaire Michael Bloomberg is up to his bag of tricks by funding studies designed to fool the American public into thinking your guns cause crime. As expected, the media plays right along. Unfortunately for him, John Lott and the Crime Prevention Research Center does the real research to measure the true impact of guns on crime. But we need your help to do it. Please donate today to help John and the CPRC get the truth out. Visit crimeresearch.org, crimeresearch.org to donate. Crimeresearch.org. Thank you.
Right now, it's time for Armed American Radio's Daily Defense with Mark Walters.
It is. Welcome back to the Crossbreed Holster Studios. I'm Mark Walters, filling your prescription for freedom. I was laughing during the break. I was thinking about that Dos Equis, you know, the Dos Equis commercial. I don't always drink beer, but when I do, I drink Dos Equis. And I was thinking, I don't listen to talk radio anymore, but when I do, I listen to Janet Mefford. Or Mike Gallagher, the two of my favorite hosts in the world, Janet Mefford, the Janet Mefford Show, Janet Mefford Daily. How are you, Janet? Thanks for being here today. Tell us about the program real quick.
Oh, Mark, thanks so much. Yeah, my show is called Janet Mefford Today. And as you mentioned, the website, janetmefford.com, people can read more about the show. But we're nationwide. We're over 150 stations now and just having a blast. I'm just absolutely loving doing it. It's a daily one-hour show and just kind of cover all the topics from a Christian perspective, politics, news, culture, and all the rest, and even gun rights. Imagine that.
Imagine that. We've talked about it before. I said Janet Mefford Daily. It's Janet Mefford Today, and you are at janetmefford.com. The website's great. The blog is great. I thoroughly enjoy reading what you put down. I'm going to go back to that in just a few minutes to pull some other quotes out of it because it's timely for our discussion today. I left off with the break with, I guess we call them what, the millennials, Janet, you know, the heads in the phones buried. I'll tell you a real quick story. I don't know when the last time you were at a college campus is, but my wife and I were there to see John Lott speak. We had breakfast with him and then went to the classroom with him to watch him give a talk at Kennesaw State University. I think it was back in April. And that's the first time I'd been on a college campus in a long time. And it was incredible. Here were all these guys and all these girls sitting in this room. They had Starbucks in the classroom downstairs, in the lobby, the great room, the common area. They had Starbucks. They had McDonald's. They had fast food places. They had restaurants. And here you had all these, you know, big, tall, cafe-style chairs and, you know, 150 kids, not a one of them talking to each other, not a one. No guy talking to a girl, guy sitting across from a beautiful girl with his head in the phone. And my wife and I commented, and I thought, where are we going here?
Yeah,
and you
I
mentioned
know.
It in the blog. It's terrible. How can you possibly be aware of what's happening around you?
Well, like I said, I think you have a lot of people in a catatonic state, and it's all about my personal entertainment, and it's all about my personal preferences, and you can just arrange things on your phone so you only hear from the people you want to see, and you only have people following you, and you're only following people you want to interact with. And, boy, I mean, it just is, the dumbing down is incredible, and the lack of attention span, and the need to always have to have somebody entertaining you. It's lethal for a country. I don't know how you continue, and I don't mean to overblow it, but I really think it's true. If you're not an informed citizenry, and I think increasingly we're not, I don't know how you maintain your republic. And that's my biggest concern.
Well, that's one of my top five fears. I don't know how you do it either. And it's frightening to me because I don't see that light at the end of the tunnel. I don't see that, well, this will get better. I don't see that anywhere. I see it getting worse. And I'm an optimist. The glass is, you know, the glass is half full. I mean, I'm positive. I like to think positive about things. Well, it's meant to be. That's what happened. You know, don't worry about what you can't change. You move on and you do better. Somebody tells you you can't do that. Now, as far as I'm concerned, success is the sweetest revenge. But I don't see that light, Janet, and it concerns me. It concerns me terribly when we're talking about the direction of this country. Look, I've got an 11-year-old little boy and a 13-year-old little girl. And guess
that's
who's going to wind up having to fight this fight?
Yeah. I think that's what we're all feeling, especially those of us. I've got four children of my own, and my husband and I are constantly saying that, you know, we can handle whatever comes along, you know, by the grace of God. But what keeps us up at night is what kind of world are our kids going to inherit? And I don't know. Again, it's all in the hands of God. But we also have to recognize that, you know, you go back to 9/11, Mark. I've been thinking a lot about this. If you go back to 9/11, there was a little surge of patriotism right after 9/11, and it was an amazing thing. If you remember all the congressmen and women who got together on the Capitol Hill steps and were singing God Bless America, and church attendance spiked a little bit right initially after 9/11, and people were feeling really hopeful. Wow, maybe this is just waking people up, and people are coming back to God, and they're going to really realize that this is a nation worth defending. And you fast forward 7 years, and you have a nation that largely elected an unvetted candidate a community organizer with basically no experience to handle the presidency. And not only did they elect him, but they elected him twice. So something fundamental has shifted in the mentality of Americans. And you can see this even when you're looking at what's going on college campuses right now. You mentioned colleges. The poll that was taken recently where they asked college kids, how do you feel about the First Amendment? And the number of college kids who are saying, well, the First Amendment shouldn't have to protect hate speech. Well, hate speech, this is Marxist talk. Hey, the whole reason we have a First Amendment is to protect speech that people don't like, that people find offensive. That's the beauty of America. And you have a millennial generation that's coming along, Mark, who don't even understand the Constitution and who have just been drinking the Kool-Aid from the left and the cultural Marxists. They have no idea what they're doing. And I think this is what those of us who aren't thinking straight need to continue to say to these the next generation of kids to recover what we have lost. And I don't know, I can't predict the future, but perhaps if we have another attack, God forbid, worse than 9/11, maybe there will be some sort of a turnaround. But I'm with you. I like to be an optimist, but I just don't know. I don't know what it would take. No.
I don't see it. I don't, at this point, I mean, I'm searching for it every day and I just don't see it. I'm looking for a tidbit over here, a tidbit over here. And we'll get to gun rights in a minute because there, as an optimist, we are winning that battle as much as the media is against us. And we'll talk about that in just a second. But you nailed it again. We'll go back to your blog and you can read this at janetmefford.com. Janet Mefford, MEFFERD.com. And here you say prophetically, these are the same Americans who also stand behind Hillary Clinton. Referring to what you said, Janet, about Obama not only getting elected once, a community organizer, but twice. And you see, these are the same Americans who also stand behind Hillary Clinton, one of the most thoroughly corrupt and dishonest politicians in modern history, because they think it would be, and here's the kicker, awesome and historic to elect a woman to the White House. Now, if you replace woman with first black man to the White House, you have exactly the dynamic that we had in 2008, and then again, now I can't say that was the case in 2012, but it certainly was in 2008, where people weren't thinking about it. And now let's take this to guns for a second, but background checks. This man's never been vetted. He hasn't passed his own background check, and he's the president of the United States. Now we got what we paid for, right? Now we got it.
Right. Well, you remember at the time, I'm sure, people were pointing out that merely by his association with Bill Ayers and Bernadine Dorn, Bill Ayers, a domestic terrorist, merely that association and friendship alone would have kept him from being able to have high-level security clearance to serve in the United States government, and yet he's at the top of it. And so we have Muslim Brotherhood leaders being all over the White House. I mean, I was reading a quote the other day from a Muslim who has turned against the whole idea that we need to just reach out and be buddies with Muslims, and this is all just moderate Muslim stuff, and don't worry about it. We need to trust and all that. And he said, if people knew what was going on at the high levels of government, they would be terrified. What has gone on?
They'd want a new government. We're getting ready to take a break. I want to leave you with this, and then we'll break it out and dig into it when we come back. There's a passage from the Bible, Luke 11:21. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are safe. When we come back, I want to apply that to the nation and Obama and what he's trying to do to this country. Back with Janet Mefford, janetmefford.com, right after this.
As people who carry a gun for protection, you and I both know if we're ever forced to pull that trigger, you know your life will change instantly. Liberal prosecutors, bleeding heart juries, they'd love to make examples of people like you and me. And that's why I rely on the legal and financial backup plan with my membership in the United States Concealed Carry Association, the USCCA. They have a guide that will arm you with 18 proven strategies for effective self-defense, helping you stay out of jail, out of bankruptcy, court and home with your family if you're forced to defend your loved ones with a gun. So if you go to defendfamily.com right now, you can download this free concealed carry guide from my friends at the USCCA. Now the guide is 100% free, and the 18 strategies it contains could very well save your life. Simply visit defendfamily1word.com, download your 100% free guide. defendfamily.com. Again, that's defendfamily.com.
Has this ever happened to you? You walk into a gun store, and by the time you walk out, you feel about 3 inches tall. All because the guy behind the counter made you feel like an idiot just because you didn't know some of the special gun terminology or what the latest product was. Well, let Concealed Carry Magazine be your crash course on everything and anything armed self-defense. So the next time you walk into that gun store, you'll walk out with your head held high. As soon as your first issue arrives, you'll find yourself immersed in unbiased gun and gear reviews and real stories from real people who carry concealed every day. You'll quickly realize Concealed Carry Magazine isn't your cookie-cutter publication. But in fact, it's a wealth of vital information you need to stay up to date and prepared. As a special bonus, if you activate your subscription today, you'll be entered to win one of four brand new handguns. Simply go to oneofourguns.com right now to activate your subscription and secure your entry to win. Hurry though, this offer won't last long. That's the number one of the number four guns.com.
Known as a bad-to-the-bone fighter with a rebel soul and a rock and roll attitude, The Roadhouse from Emerson Knives is destined to be a classic. Designer Ernest Emerson says The Roadhouse is one of his best designs ever. Just like a chopped Harley, it's low-slung and ready to roar. It feels like you've just dropped the clutch and it's ready to jump out of your hand. The Roadhouse from Emerson Knives is a must-have tactical folder. Visit EmersonKnives.com. That's EmersonKnives.com.
One of the few guns that fits comfortably in your pocket, the North American Arms Guardian 32 ACP is the perfect combination of small size, high quality, and great stopping power. Convenient, reliable, and very effective. North American Arms stands behind the Guardian 32 ACP with a lifetime warranty. With standard capacity of 6+1 rounds in a pistol less than 4 inches in length, the Guardian ACP ships with two magazines and offers an optional 10-round capacity extended magazine. For more information, visit NorthAmericanArms.com. That's NorthAmericanArms.com.
Hi, it's Mark, and I hope you're enjoying this week's broadcast. You know, over the last several weeks, you've heard me mentioning a website, usccaonair.com. We have some amazing sponsors here on this program, and one of them, the United States Concealed Carry Association, helped create this program. Since that time, just like Armed American Radio, the USCCA has exploded in growth to become the nation's number one resource for the responsibly armed citizen. The USCCA has also become famous for their promotions, as if you needed more incentive to join the United States Concealed Carry Association. Free guns, thousands of dollars in merchandise, and free ammunition, etc. to lucky promotion winners. You, too, can win by simply visiting the website usccaonair.com. usccaonair.com. That site is reserved for you as an Armed American Radio listener to keep you updated on their latest promotions. Now, I'll tell you about the promos on every program, but you can still check for yourself by visiting usccaonair.com. Don't miss out.
Back to Armed American Radio's Daily Defense with Mark Walters.
Sitting in the Crossbreed Holster Studios, make sure to check out USCCA On Air. USCCA On Air, and buy Tim Schmidt's new book. More on that at the next break, but I want to give you that heads up, that website, USCCA On Air. And make sure to check out CrossbreedHolsters.com and join the family. You won't be disappointed, I can assure you that. If you carry a firearm, if you're even considering it, and you want to know how to carry it properly and effectively, Crossbreed Holsters helped me out years ago, and I can promise you they're there for you too. Again, more on that on the next break. Luke 11:21, when a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are safe. Now, I want to take that to the macro. I'm talking with Janet Mefford of the Janet Mefford Today Show. You can follow her at janetmefford.com, M-E-F-F-E-R-D, janetmefford.com, and I can promise you she'll wind up being one of your favorite talk hosts like she is mine. Janet, let's take that quote, that passage, to the macro, not the micro. Let's take it to the nation. When a strong man, America, fully armed, America, guards its own palace, our homeland, his goods are safe. We are safe. We can apply that passage there, can't we?
Absolutely. I mean, this is a principle that is just common sense. Jesus is using it in that particular passage, referring to his casting out demons, but he's making a bigger point when he says that, when a strong man fully armed guards his own house, his possessions are undisturbed. That's just something that anybody would recognize, and that's why he's using it in that particular context. And of course, I mean, this is why when we talk about the unalienable rights that have been given to us by our Creator, we often use that when we talk about the First Amendment, for example, and the Declaration of Independence states that we talk about that a lot of times relating to free speech and freedom of religion and so forth. But I would argue self-defense is taught all over the Bible, from Old Testament to New Testament. You are allowed to defend yourself. It is, for example, another passage that I was thinking about was when you go to 1 Timothy 5:8, which says, anyone who does not provide for their relatives and especially for their own household has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Part of being able to provide for your family is to be able to have the ability to defend your family. It almost seems silly that we have to defend it, but certainly if you are able to have a firearm and able to defend your family, that's not something that the state has the right to take away from you. It's really unalienable in the same way I would argue that the free speech First Amendment would be.
That's why they're one and two. And again, you and I are of like mind there. I wish we could talk about that for the remainder of the show also. But let's take it now. Let's take that passage to Barack Obama. Set it up with this. You were talking about immigration and Syrians in the first segment. Why would a man, let alone President of the United States of America, open this nation's borders, keeping that passage in mind, after what we've seen in France, knowing now that more than one came in through the refugee, took advantage of the refugee crisis out of the Middle East to do chaos, havoc, destruction, evil in France, what person, what president would do that to this country? Keeping that passage in mind, is that defending this nation?
No, absolutely not. But you have to remember Rahm Emanuel's famous quote that you never let a serious crisis go to waste. Chaos is everything Obama is about. He loves chaos. Out of chaos, you know, if you look, for example, going back to the UN in the mid-70s and its whole resettlement program, the idea of resettling refugees across the globe is something that the UN has been about for years. What is the purpose of this? Well, we've already talked about this in relation to illegal immigration and the executive orders that Obama has issued. They want to create a permanent progressive majority. They want to create a one-party rule forever. This is what progressives are all about, and some of them will openly admit this. They also have the idea, though, that this is part of social justice. If we are to resettle people from around the world, the UN is about the abolition of private property, the redistribution of resources, the redistribution of land. This goes so much broader than people realize, and I think this comes down to the fact that the president is a global citizen. That's what it's about. It's not about the United States of America, its principles, and its founding documents, and the wonderful, glorious history we've had as a nation. He doesn't care about that. I don't know how much more evidence we need. That's not where he's coming from, and that's why he's doing this. He has a different agenda than the American citizens do, and that's the bottom line.
That was on full display from the press conference from Turkey. Did you see the press conference from Turkey?
Oh, yeah, where he was upset with Jeb Bush for insinuating that we should concentrate on bringing in Christian refugees who are the victims of genocide and say we don't apply a religious test. Well, look at the numbers of the refugees who have already been let in. And it's not just Syria, by the way. It's from terror-related countries such as Afghanistan, Somalia. It is overwhelmingly Muslim. And I also read a quote today. The Barnabas Fund, which is a Christian relief agency, was specifically told by the State Department that Christians are, because of their religion, are going to be left out. So when you put it all together, you recognize one religious test that is being applied to all of this is the very religious test that I think the administration is applying. It just goes in the opposite direction. And we've seen that because of the lack of concern from this administration about the genocide against Christians. It's reprehensible how Christians are being treated by this administration.
Let's take that to Umpqua College in Oregon, October 1st.
Right.
What religion are you?
Right.
Dead. What religion are you? Dead. Nary a mention in the mainstream media. Nary a mention. Had that been Muslim, had that been a Christian, we'd still be hearing about it.
Oh, yeah.
Why? The media is complicit here. Clearly, the media is complicit.
Right.
Why? Why?
Right.
Why?
Well, I mean, look at his background. He's, you know, grew up a Muslim. And people will make the comment, well, he's a Muslim. Well, you know, he claims to be a Christian. We go through all that stuff. I don't care about that. I always say, don't look at what somebody says. Look at what somebody does. People will always live what they believe. They will not always live what they profess. So forget the profession and look at what is done. The Umpqua Community College story is a perfect example. You're right. You had somebody specifically target Christians for death, and it was virtually ignored. Clearly, if he's claiming to be a Christian, he's acting against his own profession. So that should tell you something right there.
Yeah, it's not in the words. It's in the actions. And I go back to that press conference in Turkey. I saw what I believe, as I viewed it a number of times, in particular one question from CNN. With all due, and I couldn't believe it was CNN that asked the question, but hats off to him for asking the question. Why is it we can't take these blanks out, Mr. President? America and the world want to know why the most powerful military in the world refuses to do this. And his response was not tepid. I don't even know how to. It was fear. I saw fear in his eyes. He's in so far over his head. I don't think he had any other option but then to double and triple down on what he's already said, that, in fact, ISIS is contained. He's embarrassed in front of the world. And now we have, Janet, France, working with the Russians.
Yeah.
To take ISIS out and not looking to American leadership. What kind of world are we living in?
It's amazing when you consider how much Americans have made fun of France, at least in my lifetime, for always being so laissez-faire and not wanting to get involved. And France is tougher than the United States of America. Who ever imagined that we would live to see the day? But they recognize, to some extent at least, that the tide is turning. When you look at these videos of these migrants who are coming into Europe, the flood, and it's all because of this idea that there should be porous borders, and it's all about the EU, and it's about opening things up. People are beginning to wake up. And it was kind of funny. Mm-hmm. I saw a story right after the Paris Jihad where this website, I think it was Fusion, had a story that said, we don't understand this. Why in the world would there be jihad in a young, hip, socialist, progressive area of Paris? This wasn't the countryside where they're more conservative. This was an area where they elected a socialist mayor. How could this happen here? Just the blindedness here, where they don't even recognize the jihadists don't care how liberal you are. They'll kill you, too.
That's precisely why it happened there. When we come back, we've got one segment left with Janet. I want to turn it over to gun control. Obama says gun control to be his top priority for the remainder of his term. Top priority. With everything we're talking about, he wants you disarmed as his top priority. Unconscionable. Back with Janet Mefford after this. You and I both know concealed carry is a serious subject, and being prepared to protect your family when it matters most means more than just being a good shot at the range. And that's why 135,000 of your fellow responsibly armed Americans already read Concealed Carry Magazine from cover to cover, including my columns. A subscription to Concealed Carry Magazine isn't just an entire year of unbiased gun and gear reviews. It's so much more. It's real stories from real people who carry concealed every single day, just like you and I. It's life-saving information that'll keep you up to date and prepared. And most importantly, it'll help you be ready and confident to protect your family if you're ever faced with a life or death situation. Begin your subscription today, and not only will you be looking forward to a full year of America's number one publication for responsibly armed citizens, but you'll also automatically be entered to win one of four brand new guns. But this offer won't last long, so go to oneofourguns.com. That's the number one and the number four, oneofourguns.com, to activate your subscription and claim your chance to win your dream gun. Again, that's oneofourguns.com.
From Crossbreed Holsters comes the Women's Appendix. With softer leather and smoother corners, the Women's Appendix holster was designed specifically with the female body in mind. This holster is intended for popular small firearms and has no cant, so it can be worn on the front side of the body. Featuring a crossbreed hand-molded pocket for a perfect fit, we ensure the Women's Appendix is your answer for any woman who wants to carry a small firearm in a front position. This versatile holster can be worn in the standard appendix or cross-draw fashion. Find your perfect fit today at crossbreedholsters.com.
The revolutionary Crossbreed Super Tuck holster is the most comfortable and concealable inside the waistband holster you'll ever wear, and nothing even comes close. Designed to completely conceal a firearm of any size and made to be worn with any attire, from shorts and a t-shirt to a suit and a tie. Based on your personal carry style, the Super Tuck may be worn comfortably with or without your shirt tucked in. Find out why the Crossbreed Super Tuck is the most often imitated but never duplicated holster design in the world. Visit crossbreedholsters.com today.
The Second Amendment Foundation has grown into what many believe to be the most important gun rights organization in America. With hundreds of thousands of active members, it is the Second Amendment Foundation defending your rights in courtrooms across the nation. Winning these battles in local jurisdictions all the way to the Supreme Court requires tireless effort and help from you. Please help the Second Amendment Foundation defend your freedoms by joining or donating today at saf.org. Join us at saf.org. Thank you.
Hi, it's Mark, and I hope you're enjoying this week's broadcast. You know, over the last several weeks, you've heard me mentioning a website, usccaonair.com. We have some amazing sponsors here on this program, and one of them, the United States Concealed Carry Association, helped create this program. Since that time, just like Armed American Radio, the USCCA has exploded in growth to become the nation's number one resource for the responsibly armed citizen. The USCCA has also become famous for their promotions, as if you needed more incentive to join the United States Concealed Carry Association. Free guns, thousands of dollars in merchandise, and free ammunition, etc. to lucky promotion winners. You, too, can win by simply visiting the website usccaonair.com. usccaonair.com. That site is reserved for you as an Armed American Radio listener to keep you updated on their latest promotions. Now, I'll tell you about the promos on every program, but you can still check for yourself by visiting usccaonair.com. Don't miss out. Hi, it's Mark, and I have a plea for help. Gun-hating billionaire Michael Bloomberg is up to his bag of tricks by funding studies designed to fool the American public into thinking your guns cause crime. As expected, the media plays right along. Unfortunately for him, John Lott and the Crime Prevention Research Center does the real research to measure the true impact of guns on crime. But we need your help to do it. Please donate today to help John and the CPRC get the truth out. Visit crimeresearch.org, crimeresearch.org to donate. Crimeresearch.org. Thank you.
And now your host, Mark Walters.
Sitting in the Crossbreed Holster Studios, USCCA on air. I need to send you over there. The promo, the gun giveaway in October, a gun a day. 47 guns were given away over at usccaonair.com. The site belongs to you. Head over there for save about $22, or it's $22, something like that. You get Tim's new book, Guns, Freedom, and the American Dream. Head over and get Tim's new book, usccaonair.com. The story of the USCCA is told by Tim Schmidt. It's controversial. He has sold thousands of them. Head over and grab your own copy. I'm talking with Janet Mefford. You can read about Janet Mefford. You can follow her at Janet Mefford, MEFFERD.com, JanetMefford.com. And you can listen to her every day on 100. Janet, how many stations? 100 and what now?
Yeah, we're over 150. We're adding from day to day. So it's over 150.
Well, congratulations. 150 stations a day. You can hear Janet Mefford today all across the country. Visit JanetMefford.com and find out everything you need to know about the show. Janet, one quick segment with you. I got three things I want to knock out real fast. First of all, Americans have to understand one thing, and that's evil exists. You agree with that?
I agree with that completely.
We can't protect ourselves from evil if we deny its existence, can we?
Correct. Right.
Barack Obama's in complete and total denial. I think, my opinion here, my show, I can give it, that's what I do. But I want your perspective. I believe we are witnessing right now a Jimmy Carter, Ronald Reagan-esque type thing with Barack Obama.
Yeah. I mean, a whole lot different. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, a little bit different in the sense that we're dealing with a very, very brutal, vicious, savage enemy. That is, dare I say, a heck of a lot worse than Iran was back during the hostage crisis. But the same dynamic is playing itself out as it put Jimmy Carter on the ash bin of history as the weakest president in American history. Ronald Reagan blew into office. Now, I, of course, don't know, nor have I endorsed a Republican candidate, but I think we're on the cusp of that in 2016. Could I be right there?
I think you absolutely could be right, and it's interesting to reflect back. I remember the whole Carter years. I was young, but I was very political even back then, and I remember the Carter years. And he was just an embarrassment, and for Reagan to sweep in, and the hostages were released on the day he was inaugurated. And
right.
I mean, what a contrast. But, you know, it's funny because when you reflect back on Jimmy Carter never had the anti-Americanism factor going on. Barack Obama is a whole new breed of president. There's been nobody like him. And I'm hoping and praying that 8 years of this garbage is going to turn Americans to a different way of doing things and to return to the concept of national security and embrace American patriotism. I just have had it with the left, with Obama and his minions, slamming this country and telling us we need to feel guilty. And we're, you know, I'm sick of that. I love my country. I'm tired of seeing my country go in the wrong direction. And I really hope Americans all across this country will rise up and say we've had enough too.
Well, that's the optimism in me. I believe that also. I believe that light is visible at the end of the tunnel. I think Americans have had enough of it, which is why I think you're seeing that's the equation, I think. That's the wings under – or the wind under Trump and Carson and for that matter, Ted Cruz's wings. It's why Jeb Bush and the rest of the establishment just can't get it. They don't understand that America spoke in 2014 – and they did not get what they wanted, and darn it, they're going to get it in 2016, the establishment be damned. And I think we're there. Let's go quickly to Washington Times piece and go back to the biblical quote from Luke. Protecting your own home through strength, essentially. Barack Obama has said just days ago, hours ago, quite frankly, that he wants gun control to be the defining moment of the last year of his term, of his presidency.
Right, right.
What gives an America, again, here we go, the world at war, and Barack Obama wants to disarm America. Why do you think that is?
Well, there are a lot of theories about that. There are some who would say he has his sights set on a police state, and that's a whole other subject, but the degree to which the police state has morphed and grown and metastasized in this country, I think is still largely unknown to a lot of Americans. But he has goals, see, Mark. It's not really about what comes up that he needs to deal with and be an executive, you know, as far as the executive branch. He doesn't really want to bother with that stuff. He came in with a list of things he wanted to do. It goes back to even when he passed Obamacare through all the dirty tactics that the Democrats used. There were not Americans clamoring for socialized medicine. He came in with a list on an agenda, and I'm going to go through doom to doom to doom to doom, and I want gay marriage, and I want this, and I want that. And he just pushes it on through. He's there for different reasons than I think any other president has ever been there. He has stuff he wants to get done. And that's why he's circumventing Congress all the time and complaining about how Congress is getting in his way and Congress is stopping the important work of the American people. It's not the important work of the American people. It's the important work of George Soros and the elites. That's all it is. And so this is on his agenda. He's angry that he hasn't been able to push through gun control, really mad at people like you, Mark, who are making it difficult for him to persuade people that jettisoning the Second Amendment is a good idea. And he gets angry and petulant like a child when he doesn't get his way. And I think this is what that's about.
This is a tough question, but I want to ask it. Does he love his country? Does he love America?
Let's just put it this way. The best way to look for somebody's love is to look for evidence of it. And I would argue I don't see evidence of it. I think he is looking at America as a means to an end. I don't see patriotism. I mean, you go back years ago, he was the one who didn't want to wear this flag on his lapel. And I don't know. I mean, I can't enter the man's heart, but I don't see evidence. I don't see overwhelming evidence at all.
Great answer, because you're right. We can't get into him. I can't get into his head, but the evidence that I see, you know where I come from on that. No, I don't. He wants to make America into something he can love. That's the way I think Barack Obama is. That's why he's pushing the agenda, Janet, I think, that he is pushing. But again, un-American. Listen, this is a president, Janet, as you well know, and a presidential candidate. Let's face it. Hillary Clinton's got the Democrat nomination locked up. It's a done deal. It's bought and paid for from that corruption queen on the far left. She owns it. It's hers. She has made it very, very clear to every American on a national stage calling for Australian gun confiscation as a model for the United States. That now, I predicted right after October 1st and the Umpqua College, because the leftist, the loony left is coming out. They're coming out of the woodworks. They got the media in their hip pocket. Marco Rubio was right. It's a built-in pact. The media is doing their bidding for him. I said it on this program. You're going to start seeing at a much higher level, not from Obama, though. I didn't think it would be from him right away, but sure enough it was, calls for confiscation in this nation. And you're seeing it. You're seeing it from the media. Now it's permeated. It's moved its way all the way up to the top of Hillary Clinton. She's calling for it. He's mentioned it twice.
Yeah.
Yep. So to deny that that's part of their agenda is to be what I refer to either ignorant or stupid. And I believe that ignorance, if left unattended, breeds stupidity. You can take that any way you want. But if you're headline surfing and you got your face in a phone and you're a gun owner and you think it's all going to be la-di-da, your head's in the sand. You agree with that?
I do agree with that. I was watching one of the interviews recently. I can't remember how long ago it aired, but yes, and he was talking about the Australian gun law and how he thought it was so great, and we really need to have these common sense measures in the United States. What happens? These progressives are always trying to get around that irritating thing called the Constitution.
And it's just in their way, Janet.
It's in their way, doing the important work of the American people. And Hillary Clinton, you're going to get not only the same sort of stuff, you're going to get worse. It's Hillary Clinton who wants 65,000 Syrian refugees instead of 10. It's Hillary Clinton who was the one standing up in Istanbul a few years ago with the Organization of Islamic Cooperation and telling them, we need to use the old-fashioned tactics of peer pressure and shaming to get people to do what we stop doing what we abhor. And she's referring to free speech.
No, I'm telling you, Janet, I got to stop you there. I could go with you another 2 hours. Janet Mefford, Armed American Radio's Daily Defense. I'm looking forward to having you back on as soon as possible. JanetMefford.com. Thank you, Janet. Janet Mefford today. Carry on, carry often, carry absolutely everywhere. I'll see you tomorrow.
Known as a bad-to-the-bone fighter with a rebel soul and a rock and roll attitude, The Roadhouse from Emerson Knives is destined to be a classic. Designer Ernest Emerson says The Roadhouse is one of his best designs ever. Just like a chopped Harley, it's low-slung and ready to roar. It feels like you've just dropped the clutch and it's ready to jump out of your hand. The Roadhouse from Emerson Knives is a must-have tactical folder. Visit EmersonKnives.com. That's EmersonKnives.com.
Hey, what's up? It's AAR Shanto here. Every day you hear the passion that we have for freedoms here in America. I also have other passions, and every week you can check out what that passion is. I've started a new web series. Yes, believe it or not, with all the other things that I have going on, I went and did it. I started a web series, and I think you're going to like it. If you want to see one of my hobbies, all you got to do is check out irfnews.com. That's irfnews.com.
I don't think I need to tell you this, but I'm going to anyway. When it comes to concealed carry, a smart shooter is a prepared shooter. And going to the range and shooting at a target just isn't enough. While training is important, you need something more. And that's why 135,000 responsibly armed Americans rely on Concealed Carry magazine. To pick up where training at the range leaves off, expect life-saving information on every page, every issue. Whether it's unbiased gun and gear reviews or real stories of self-defense from real people who carry concealed every day. You'll stay up to date on the latest training drills and laws regarding your right to carry your firearm. And for a limited time, when you start your subscription, you'll automatically be entered to win one of four brand new guns. But this won't last long. So go to the number one of the number four guns.com right now to begin your subscription and claim your chance to win your dream gun. That's one of four guns.com.